Bill Zartler, Chief Executive Officer of Solaris Water Midstream. Operators, especially in this environment, are focusing their capital on the drill bit, producing oil and gas, and letting someone else handle their water. End quote. As an example, the company just extended and expanded its produced water management agreement with Midland-based Concho Resources. The long-term agreement, which covered all of Concho's acreage in Eddy County, New Mexico, has been expanded to include Concho's Lee County, New Mexico acreage as well. Solaris will now manage Concho's produced water gathering, transportation, disposal, and recycling for a 2.3 million acre area of mutual interest in both New Mexico counties. Quote, "Our new agreement with Solaris Water Midstream provides a comprehensive water solution for our northern Delaware Basin footprint and advances our water recycling efforts," Jack Harper, Concho Resources president, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Continuing the quote, "We are excited to broaden our partnership with Solaris Water to include effective water management solutions in Lee County, New Mexico," end quote. As oil and gas operations in the Permian's unconventional shales become more complex, more and more producers are turning to teams like his, quote, "who do nothing but water," Zartlett said in a phone interview. Under the deal with Concho, Solaris took ownership of 9 additional saltwater disposal wells and approximately 80 additional miles of existing large diameter produced water gathering pipelines, which he said allows the company to expand its options for clients for recycling and reusing produced water in hydraulic fracturing operations. "That means fewer disposal wells are being drilled," he said. Solaris's infrastructure in the northern Delaware Basin now includes over 500 miles of high-capacity water pipelines in service or under construction, over 1 million barrels per day of disposal capacity, over 2.2 million barrels per day of additional permitted disposal capacity, and 500,000 barrels per day of water treatment and recycling capacity spanning approximately 1 million acres in Eddy and Lee counties in New Mexico and Culberson, Loving, and Reeves counties in Texas. The system serves 24 producers, including Concho. Amid the uncertainty created by the downturn, Sartler said he's pleased Solaris was able to pull off a deal like the one with Concho and expressed pride in his crew's abilities to operate during the pandemic. Looking forward, Sartler said his company plans to continue building out infrastructure as needed and stay ahead of operators' needs. There was a slowdown in April as customers slowed spending, but he said that is now back up to near pre-COVID-19 levels. Produced water levels that fell in April and May as operators shut in existing production and stopped drilling new wells began returning to normal levels in June and July as operators turned wells back on, he said. Quote, "particularly in areas like the Midland Basin and Delaware Basin, it's good rock with the lowest break-even costs. Our customers can move water into our system for lower costs and help reduce their expenditures," he said. While drilling activity slowed, he said operators were realizing they had economic drilled, uncompleted wells that could be completed and placed in production. "That has been a bump in demand for frac crews and recycling water purchases." Sartler said his company will see increased recycled water sales into the fall and perhaps into early next year. He said the company's recycling business got its start in Midland County. "The use of recycled water will continue to grow as operators work to reduce their environmental footprint," he said. Quote, "The industry tends to want to do the right thing," he said, It's economically competitive. The industry doesn't want to tear up the environment. It wants to do the right thing. End quote. That is extended to investors. In conjunction with the expanded deal with Concho, Solaris announced that its private equity sponsors, Trilantic Capital Management, LP, Yorktown Partners, LLC, and HBC Investments, along with Solaris Management, have increased their capital commitments to the company to support its continued expansion. Quote, "We have a set of investors who see the need to continue to grow, who have a desire to grow, and are in a position to give us funds to grow," Sartley said. "We plan to grow on an organic basis, drilling disposal wells, building pipe, and recycling facilities," end quote. A water midstream company such as Solaris can give oil and gas operators the ability to move their produced water not only from point A to point B, but to point C, D, or E, and recycle that water and optimize its use, he said. Quote, "To do that, we need to build lots of pipe and have a system and the personnel to operate it. We see the outsourcing trend continuing. The scale of a system like ours gives the flexibility to recycle and reuse water," end quote. Railroad Commission seeks public comment on flaring rule changes. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Looking into issues related to the state's flaring and venting of natural gas, an internal Railroad Commission working group ran into issues. Quote, "Examiners in the hearings division closely scrutinized exception applications before them and required more detail and, in some cases, limits on the requested relief," Paul Dubois, Assistant Director for Technical Permitting, told the three railroad commissioners last week. He said agency staff tried to apply actual data to the exception applications and thus identified significant data issues. That led to the three elected commissioners agreeing at the open meeting, held virtually, to publish proposed revisions to the Rule 32 data sheet regarding flaring for public comment. Among the proposed revisions to the statewide Rule 32 application are the period of time for which an operator may obtain an administrative exception to flare gas will be reduced in many cases. For certain exceptions, the duration may be reduced by 50% to 80%. Incentives will be provided for operators to use technologies to reduce the amount of gas flared. Operators must provide more specific information to justify the need to flare or vent gas in accordance with commission rules. Flares would be related to specific production properties to facilitate compliance with reported production. Tracking the new information and data points will be valuable in any future efforts to tailor policy that addresses flaring. Public comments will be accepted through September 4th. To review the proposed revisions and submit a comment, visit the Railroad Commission website. The modifications stem from recommendations presented to the commissioners in July by Commission Chairman Wayne Christian's Blue Ribbon Task Force on Oil Economic Recovery, comprised of oil and gas industry associations. Permian Basin Petroleum Association has continuously been working with our member companies on efforts that focus on our environment stewardship and the work by regulators in Texas and New Mexico. Together, these efforts include our participation in the Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition that is working with the Railroad Commission to develop better data for the agency and the public, and that has led to the publication of that policy for comment at their conference this week, Ben Shepard, president, said in an email. Quote, Commissioners approved Tuesday publishing draft changes to policies that govern flaring at oil and natural gas wells across the state. Flaring is often necessary because of capacity constraints on existing pipelines or for safety when equipment breaks down and natural gas cannot be shipped via pipeline, he said. Continuing the quote, under the agency's current rules, an oil well that does not have a pipeline connection can flare natural gas for 10 days after being placed into production. To keep flaring natural gas beyond that, operators must request a Railroad Commission permit. If approved, the permits are good for up to 6 months and can be renewed for good cause. Quote, commissioners are considering adopting a matrix of proposals from the industry-led Texas Methane and Flaring Coalition, of which PBPA is a member, that reduce the number of days that operators can flare before being required to go to a hearing, Shepard said. Continuing the quote, in their permit request to the agency, operators will now be required to provide more detail about the well and why flaring is being requested. This will include information about the nearest pipeline, as well as a detail of what processing or maintenance issue required the flaring. Additionally, yesterday, Wednesday, PBPA held a discussion as part of our weekly webinar series with OTI Compression, featuring TCEQ Commissioner Emily Lindley. She shared with us some of the agency's recent efforts in the Permian Basin, including data gathered through the recent TCEQ flyovers, end quote. Shepard said flaring issues are not limited to Texas, saying his association is evaluating and preparing comments on two proposed New Mexico rules, one by the New Mexico Environment Department and the other by the Oil Conservation Division of the Energy, Minerals, and Natural Resources Department. Quote, these are some of the toughest rules in the country. Fortunately, we have a good working relationship with the agencies, and we are expressing our concerns in order to find the right balance between reducing emissions and reasonable economical regulatory changes, Shepard said. Continuing the quote, we believe in developing a reasonable, durable, and consistent regulatory framework in Texas and New Mexico aimed at ensuring we can continue to safely and responsibly develop natural resources and promote environmental stewardship, he said. Dubois told the commissioners that modifications to the data sheets is just part of the work the staff is doing to address flaring. Staff is also in the initial development stages of an integrated online system that makes information from different types of users, from inspectors in the field to technical specialists in Austin, to be accessible in one place. Also in the works is changes to production reporting to help identify flaring events in the state. Quote, if adopted, it will reduce the length of flaring and incentivize operators to voluntarily deploy technology to reduce flaring, Dubois said of the changes. Dubois also reported a recent positive trend that has been occurring with the rate of flaring. While the amount of gas produced in Texas declined by 13% from 842 billion cubic feet in June 2019 to 735 BCF in May, the portion of produced gas that was flared dropped even more sharply by 79% during that same time period. While he said the reduction in flaring is tied to more than a decrease in production, the data does not show why the rate fell. He said it could also be tied to additional takeaway capacity, erasing the bottleneck that had been listed as a reason for flaring, as well as the decline in drilling activity. Dubois added operators may be improving their flaring performance. Christian said that in May, 99.5% of the gas produced in Texas was sold and put to use generating electricity or to make hundreds of consumer products rather than being vented or flared. TCEQ Commissioner says communication key to better environment. The story was written by Mella McEwen. Communication can be key to protecting the state's environment, according to a state regulator. Quote, "We touch about every industry and business in some way for this state," said Texas Commission on Environmental Quality Commissioner Emily Lindley, participating in the weekly Oilfield Strong webinar presented by OTA Compression, OTA Environmental, and the Permian Basin Petroleum Association. Quote, "I'd love for us to not be that big," she said. "We have a robust stakeholder involvement process, whether it's rulemaking or the permitting process. I encourage you, one, to dive into who we are, what we do, and if you have any questions on how to get engaged on topics, contact the agency. We need to be talking to the regulated community and hearing from you. We can't do this job unless we know how it's affecting the community," end quote. The Midland native said she has never operated a well or drilled horizontally, so any proposed rules may be off the mark, quote, "in some ways. We're not in the real world, having to be out there in the field. So, if there's something we aren't getting right, we don't know that unless you tell us," end quote. That will be particularly important in the coming months as the commission ponders some rules that could impact the industry, she said. Lindley says she wants to hear from people in the industry to ensure the rulemaking is being done correctly. Quote, "I'd like to get things as right as possible the first time around," she said. Flaring and venting are big issues in the Permian, she said. Referring to the commission's enforcement report, she said the Midland region stood out significantly with more emissions events reported by far than even the Houston region with its ship channel and refining and petrochemical plants. Quote, "You don't want these numbers next year. We don't want these numbers next year," she said, adding that the number of incidents this year appear to be down. Quote, "We called the four companies with the highest number of events and said, we need to work together," she said. "We are encouraged by the mitigation activities and even more so by the investments companies have made to improve their operations and reduce emissions events. They took this seriously and worked to eliminate events," end quote. The commission conducted two flyovers in March to check for emissions and identify potential problem areas. 14 companies responded to requests for additional information, and one site was issued a violation notice, she said. Quote, "When we reach out to you, it's very helpful to us and to you if you're responsive. For all emissions events, we sent out questionnaires, so please return those questionnaires and our follow-up phone calls as we try to find out more about what's going on at the site. We need to know what's going on and what you're doing to get into compliance. You may need help from the TCEQ. You may need a permit, which can be done online. You may need some sort of documentation from us to operate," end quote. She said the commission isn't the only entity doing flyovers. Others, such as the Environmental Defense Fund, are also doing flyovers to check for emissions. She said the EDF sent the commission a ton of data in April and again in July from flyovers done in February and March. In that data, which addressed 62 sites, 31 were identified as possibly having some issues, and 9 received visits from outside investigators, Lindley said. All videos from the EDF's flyovers are posted on the group's Permian Map website. The Commission is also planning to deploy mobile monitoring to survey for hydrogen sulfide and other sulfide compounds this fall. That mobile monitoring is done to determine where to set up stationary monitors, and Lindley said three are planned for Midland, Odessa, to monitor for H2S. Construction for one in West Odessa is underway, as is one in Goldsmith. The Commission is evaluating two potential sites in Midland for a monitor, both on City of Midland property, she said. The Commission is also preparing for the next session of the Texas Legislature, which will get underway in January. Lindley said the Commission has a list of 10 budget requests, and top of the list is $1 million to improve entry-level pay. Quote, "We have a hard time retaining investigators," she said. They are brought in at low entry-level salaries. We train them, get them geared up, and then they leave for greener pastures, which is understandable. The amount of work they do, the level of expertise they have is appealing to other companies. We lose them, and that makes it difficult for us to consistently have the enforcement we want. It's beneficial to you if we retain investigators. You know them, they know you. It's a level of consistency. We want the legislature to help us and give us a little more money. We're not seeking more bodies. We just want money to bump up the entry-level pay so we're more competitive and we can retain investigators," end quote. She is also seeking funds to replace the Commission's optical gas imaging cameras. Quote, "We don't know what this session will look like. We don't know if we'll get money for anything, but they can't say no if you don't ask," she said.
Soaring valuations. What could go wrong? By Dennis Elam, assistant professor at Texas A&M San Antonio and a 1966 graduate of Andrews High School. Apple's market valuation is $1.9 trillion bigger than the GDP of Canada, Russia, or Spain. Apple is now the world's largest company and dominates the smartphone market. Tesla's valuation is now larger than all other automakers. Tesla is worth $266 billion, GM a mere $50 billion. From the Wall Street Journal. Even with July's gains, fewer than half of the 22 million jobs lost in March and April have been restored. Economists warn the rest of the lost ground will be a challenge to regain. From the New York Times. Stock market tops occur with soaring valuations, usually concentrated in fewer and fewer stocks. This is described as declining breadth. Indeed, Apple has doubled from $220 to $440 since the March 28th low. Similar action occurred in RCA in the 1920s. It would take until the 1950s for RCA to regain its 1929 share price high. The same could be said EDS in the 1960s. Home builder share prices soared into the fall 2007 stock market high. The highs in the NASDAQ stock index have not really been confirmed by new highs in other indices. As with the dot-coms in March 2000, the NASD shot to new highs by itself. The NDX has risen from 6,750 in March to 11,139, a 65% rise in 6 months. The leaders of such companies at share price highs are universally regarded as some kind of genius. Congress grilled four of them representing Facebook, Amazon, Apple, and Microsoft just last week. Congressional investigations and lawsuits are another bull market high feature. We can cite earlier leaders like Ross Perot at EDS or Jack Welch at GE or currently Elon Musk at Tesla as similar examples. All the tech firms have displayed the kind of parabolic investors are pouring in afraid of missing out vertical rallies. All of which is to say that the common denominators of past highs are all present. And of course, the market has ignored riots, lootings, defunding the police, and a 34% drop in GDP. None of this is a precision crystal ball, but it does suggest the possibility of a market high this week. The pullback may tell us more about whether the bull will last into and past the November elections. Last week, we predicted higher crude oil prices. At $41.22, it is at least staying above recent support at $40. ExxonMobil, XOM, rallied from $30 to $55 and is now under major moving averages at $43.44. The question is whether it will be forced to join other international oils which have cut dividends. Our last column also warned caution for all the reasons cited above. That still sounds like good advice.
Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
If you're a do-it-yourselfer, don't let physical challenges limit your imagination. Each week, the guys on The Blind Handyman answer questions and offer tips on home maintenance and upgrades.
As we've pointed out several times, you do things when you're blind. Many times you do them the same way a sighted person would. A drill is a drill is a drill. A saw is a saw. And you just need to remember, don't get your fingers in it and push the board through it.
You want to make sure that your structure will support this.
We're going to talk about an email that we had gotten about a stove ignition problem.
Assuming that you're blind, John, and you can't read a voltammeter, what do you want to do there?
Most of the new ones in the high scale reading, it'll make a buzzing noise.
I'm going to talk about installing a micro hood. It's a combination microwave and vent hood.
And we've started drinking early. No, I'm not only kidding.
The Blind Handyman, direct from Lufkin, Texas. Monday nights at 7, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday nights at 11 on Recording Library of West Texas Radio.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 79 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-80s. Then, tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 80s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Kay, reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 9th, 2020, Life and Times. Scenes from Fighting Through COVID. 14-year-old Esteban Pecos Freckles Rodriguez shadow boxes in the ring while wearing a face mask during his Tuesday evening practice at West Texas Knockout Boxing Club. The boxing club hosted its first practice on Tuesday after being closed since late March due to the coronavirus. Members had to wear face masks during practice, and practice was held for two groups at separate times to abide by social distancing. By Eli Hartman, EHARTMAN at OAOA.com. The West Texas Knockout Boxing Club is back in the swing of things. After being closed for more than 4 months due to coronavirus concerns, the boxing club has reopened 4 nights a week to help train young fighters. Since the outbreak of COVID-19 in the Permian Basin and a record-breaking decrease in the region's economy, the club has seen a drastic drop in membership from more than 80 members before the pandemic to nearly 30 at the start of August. However, the decrease in membership and new health and safety rules, like a mask mandate and social distancing, weren't enough to keep the staff and athletes away from getting back in the ring for long. More photos. Right, Coach Danny Chavez aids 14-year-old Esteban Rodriguez during boxing practice on Tuesday evening at West Texas Knockout Boxing Club. Below left, West Texas Knockout Boxing Club owner Henry Hernandez prepares wrist wraps for club boxers before the start of practice. Below right, 13-year-old Jose Rubia passes in front of West Texas Knockout Boxing Club while running laps before the start of his practice. Bottom left, head coach Augie Tapia tightens 13-year-old Jose Rubia's boxing glove just before sparring practice. Bottom right, coach Augie Tapia poses for a portrait in the main boxing ring.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, August 9th, 2020. Men, Take Control of Heart Disease by Levi Stone, RN, MSN. A juicy ribeye cooked to perfection, being the master of the TV remote, routinely downing a